الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا إن في الجسد لمضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله ألا وهي القلب أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected ulama, elders, beloved brothers, the topic that I have been given to discuss is what is islah, what is tazkiya, tasawwuf, and what is the spiritual rectification. In this hadith that I have quoted of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions, ala inna fil jasadi la mudgha, that listen, verily in the body there is a piece of flesh. إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ, that if this piece of flesh is corrected, then the entire body of a person is in order, the entire body of a person is correct. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ, and if this piece of flesh becomes corrupt, then the entire body of a person thereafter becomes corrupt. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explains that what is this piece of flesh? Allah, listen, وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ, this is the heart of a person. So if the heart of a person is correct, then the body is correct. And if the heart is corrupt, then the entire body is corrupt. So this we can easily understand like a king. The king is sitting within the confines of his palace. But from his palace, he is issuing commands, which the ministers, whoever it might be, they will implement that command, those commands among the subjects. So he doesn't have to leave his palace at all. But his commands are being implemented throughout the country as far as his rule extends. So this is exactly the condition of the heart. The heart is, so to say, it is hidden. It is within the body of a person. But the heart is the one that is issuing the commands. If a woman is coming and the heart gives the command that now, watch, look at that woman. She's such a beautiful woman that is coming. So on the command of the heart, the eye is now going to pick up, and the eye is now going to look at that woman. So where does the command come from? The command has come from the heart. A person, he becomes abusive to somebody. How does he become abusive? This command comes from the heart. The heart says that utters such and such word to such a person, this will hurt that person. So when the heart gives that command, then a person will utter such words. So we find that if the heart is corrupt, the heart will react in this manner. And if the heart of a person is correct, then we find that the eyes will now be looking in the correct place, the tongue will now speak the correct things. Why? This is an indication that the heart is correct. So when the heart is corrupt, now this fitna, this fasad that will take place. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says, in my young days I read a kitab called Akhlaq-e Muhassana. In this kitab he says, I read regarding a particular prince, that on one particular occasion he went out hunting. So he says, on this hunting spree, somehow he was separated from the rest of the army, or from the rest of his group, and he happened to come to a particular farm. So when he came to this farm, the people of the farm were very, very kind to him. They were very, very hospitable to him. And they presented fresh fruit before the prince. So he says, there was an old man that was there. And this old man, he was planting. So the prince, he told him, old man, you're already so old. So to say, your one leg is in the grave, and the other one is on the banana peel. Anytime you're going to slip, you're going to be gone. So he says, why are you wasting your time? Why are you planting these trees? So the old man, he responded, he said, that if our forefathers had to think in this manner, today we wouldn't have had fruit to eat. And if we don't think for the future generations, he says that if we don't plant, they're not going to have fruit to eat. And then the old man said, that who knows? These trees that I'm planting, it is possible I will eat the fruit of the very same trees. So the prince, he was so certain that the old man will never live. How many years is going to take that tree to grow and thereafter to bear fruit? And who knows whether he's going to bear fruit or not also. He said, if that has to happen, my wife is divorced. And saying this, he went away. So nevertheless, time passed. The king of the time passed away. And this prince now took the position of king. And when he became the king, he happened to come by the very same farm again. But he didn't realize, he didn't remember and recall, this is the very same farm. So he went into the very same farm. And again the old man, he presented fruit, he was living, he was hospitable, he presented the fruit to him. So the king, he started eating, he was now the king. And he took some fruit and he told the old man, you also eat. So the old man refused. He took it, a little child was there, he gave it to the child. He didn't eat. So the king wanted to know the reason why you're not eating the fruit. So then he explained to the king, he tells the king, he says that many, many years ago, a prince passed by here, not knowing that this is this very same person. And he said that he had taken a vow. He took a qasam at that time. He said that if I have to eat this fruit, then his wife is divorced. He made it mu'allak. He attached it to a condition, mu'allak bishart. And he says that perhaps now he has become the king. And he is married. If I'm going to eat the fruit, his wife is going to be divorced. So he says the king is living in guna. He is living in sin. So this is going to have an effect on the subjects of the country. That is why I do not partake of this fruit. So immediately he realized, I'm the same person. He's talking about me. So he said that I'm the very same person. And looking at the honesty of this person, looking at the loyalty of this person, the king said, I want to make you my minister. But again, look at the honesty of this old man. He said, I belong to another religion. I'm not a Muslim. Therefore, you and I, we cannot work together. I cannot become your minister. Your way of thinking is different. My way of thinking is different. So he had a girdle that he was wearing, which indicated that he belonged to a particular faith, a particular religion. So he broke that girdle. And then he said, now I accept Islam. And after accepting Islam, then he became the minister of the king. So the point that we're explaining is, look, when the king is not in order, what happens? That fitna, that facade will now spread amongst the subjects of the country. If the heart of a person is not in order, then this will have an effect on the limbs of the body, on the various organs of the body. If the heart of a person is in order, now a person is time for salah, the heart will command that go to the masjid, perform the salah. It's the month of Ramadan. The heart will say that now it's Ramadan. Fast in the month of Ramadan. A woman who happens to walk in front of us, the heart will now command that lower your gaze. Don't look at that woman. So the actual thing is the heart. It is mentioned when the Jannatis, they will enter into Jannat. And all the bounties of Jannat will be before a person. So at that time in Jannat, a person has to just desire with the heart that I want to eat a particular fruit. And that fruit will be presented before a person. Just has to desire. Nobody will have to go and fetch that fruit. He doesn't have to even get up. Just desire with the heart and the fruit will be before him. If he wants to eat, for example, a chicken, he wants it roasted, he wants it fried, he wants it in a curry form. However he wants it, the heart will just desire. And that chicken will be presented before him. He wants to eat a fish, he wants it fried, he wants it cooked, however he wants it. It is on the desire of the heart that will be presented before him. وَفِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِيهِ الْأَنفُسِ Allah Ta'ala says that in Jannat, whatever your heart is going to desire, that is what you're going to get. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ Whatever your heart desires, you will get in Jannat. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ And whatever you will ask in Jannat, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give it to you. So everything is on the desire of the heart. But why on the desire of the heart? So here the mashayikh mention that in this dunya, when the heart of a person is in order, now what will happen? Now the a'mal are going to be in order. Now the heart is going to say, perform salah. Person is going to perform salah. Make tilawat of Quran. He's going to make tilawat of Quran. And the bounty that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives us in Jannat, this is on our a'mal. Once subhanallah you read, you got a tree in Jannat. Alhamdulillah, a person got a tree in Jannat. So the bounties of Jannat, this is on the a'mal of a person. But when would the a'mal come? When the heart is in order. So in reality, if we look at it, it is because of the heart we are enjoying the bounties of Jannat. Therefore, Allah Ta'ala has made it such that when you enter into Jannat, whatever you're going to desire with the heart, that bounty of Jannat will be spread out before a person to now enjoy. As Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on one particular occasion, he took an army and he went out to the Persians to fight against the Persians. So when they came to the Persian, to the Persian territory, they decided that a delegation should first go into the Persian courts and inform the Persians, we have come with, this is our niyyah, this is our intention that we have come with. So the Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala would take a group of few people, they formed a delegation, and this delegation then went into the Persian courts. When they went into the Persian courts, they had some discussion, and the Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala, he had a sword, and the sword obviously it was in his sheath, so the sheath was very, very old. So during that discussion, the Persian, they made reference to this. They said, look at the sheath of your sword. You want to fight against us, against the Persians. But the sheath of your sword is so old. So the Sa'd ibn Waqqas radiallahu anhu, without any hesitation, he said, don't worry about the sheath, but worry about the blade of that sword. That blade is very, very sharp. Meaning, don't worry about the outside. You are very, very worried about the outside. More important than the outside is worry about the inside. And this is exactly the condition of the heart. Today we are worried about the outside. A person has got a car, he'll ensure that that car is shining. If there's a little rainfall, immediately after the rainfall, he is now wiping his car. He's shining his car. Why? On the outside, that car must look perfect. It must be shining. A person has got a house. In that house, the tiles must be shining. The bathroom must be spick and span. If one maid is not enough, we'll go for the second maid. If we don't have a second domestic, if two domestics are not enough, we'll go for the third one. But everything must be spick and span. As far as our body is concerned, we use soap. On top of that, a person will use shampoo for his hair. And on top of that, a person will use conditioner. And then a person for his body, even men today, they are using so many different types of creams. In winter, they'll use a different cream. In summer, we'll use a different cream. So we're so worried about the outside all the time. My hairstyle must be in a certain way. The outside would be worried about. But the actual thing, which is the heart, that is actually neglected. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi, one particular occasion, he was walking. And whilst Imam Shafi rahmatullahi was walking, he happened to pass by a barber shop. So he decided that I want to have a haircut in this barber shop. So in those days, the barbers, they were also very shrewd. They should look at the face. If a wealthy person comes, then he will get first preference because they know here we're going to get a big tip also. So they used to give preference to wealthy people. So Imam Shafi rahmatullahi, he went into the barber shop. So the barber, you saw the kurta of Imam Shafi rahmatullahi. He said, this is a bichara, poor person, faqir. So if he's wearing this type of kurta, what tip is he going to give me? So Imam Shafi rahmatullahi, he rejected. He told Imam Shafi, I don't want to cut your hair. So Imam Shafi rahmatullahi understood the reason that why is it that this person doesn't want to cut my hair? So he had his ghulam, his slave was with him. So he asked the slave, you have any money with you? So the slave said, yes, I got 10 ashrafis, 10 gold coins. So he said, take the 10 gold coins and give it to the barber. We don't want anything, but give him the 10 gold coins. So he took the 10 gold coins and he gave it to him. Then Imam Shafi, rahmatullahi, leaves that barber shop. He says that perhaps if you take this kurta of mine and you try to sell it in the marketplace, you won't even get 2 paisa, what we'll say 2 cents. You won't even get 2 cents for this kurta of mine. But the heart that the man has, that this is so outstanding that perhaps nobody else in this time has such a heart. Obviously, was the imam of the time. So immediately he gave us that lesson there, that the actual thing is the heart. This is what needs to be corrected. And if this heart is correct, then all our work is done. But if the heart of a person is not in order, dunya becomes a problem. Qabr becomes the problem, a problem for us. Akhirat becomes a problem for us. Now, outwardly and physically, we find that a person sometimes is absolutely healthy. He's jogging also 20 kilometers, 30 kilometers. He's so healthy. He's going to work. He's returning from work. He's got no health issues. But sometimes you find a person, he has a fever. Now he cannot even wake up from his bed because he's got a fever. That is a physical ailment that a person has. A person, he's got diarrhea. So a person, this is a physical ailment that he has. So just as a person suffers from physical ailments, in a like manner, we find there are illnesses of the heart. There are those spiritual ailments that we suffer from as well. In this short time, we'll just take a few examples to understand what are these physical ailments and who is it that can actually treat these physical ailments. Now, these spiritual ailments. One spiritual ailment is the ailment, for example, of anger, that a person gets angry. Now, this is a spiritual condition of a person. So this is the result of the heart not being in order. Now when the heart of a person is not in order, we find a person, he becomes angry. When he becomes angry, where does this anger manifest itself? Now you will find that the face of the person will become red. The heart is not in order. So the result of this, now we see it on the face, that the face becomes red. And thereafter we will find that the veins of a person, that will begin to swell. Why? Now this is showing extreme anger. Now I become even more angry than this. But this is the result of the anger. Thereafter, a person is unable to control the tongue. Why? The heart is not in order. So the effect of it, we're seeing it on the tongue now. This is when a person now will have an argument with his wife. It may be a small argument, but where does it result? Now that husband, in one sentence, he issues 3 talaqs. That I've divorced you thrice. And now he's going around looking for a fatwa that 3 talaq is equal to 1. Ask a grade 1 child, he'll tell you 1 plus 1 plus 1 is 3. No one will tell you 1 plus 1 plus 1 is 1. It is 3, is 3. 3 talaqs have taken place. So what was the result of this? That the man was unable to control his tongue. And then this can go to a 4th stage. And what is the 4th stage? That a person now becomes abusive physically. If he's got a gun in his hand, if there's road rage, or even if his brother is in front of him, these are cases that are reality that take place before us. He pulls the trigger in that anger, and for the rest of his life, now he regrets. Why? The heart was not in order. When the heart was not in order, now a person was unable to control the anger. Now look at the consequence of that anger when a person didn't make Islam and a person didn't correct his heart. And if you look at the other side of this, of the coin, the other side of the coin will find a person got no anger. Now this is an illness as well. This is a sickness. That a person doesn't have anger, that is also an illness. Why? Allah Ta'ala has blessed every human being with anger in order to protect his respect, to protect his honor, to protect his family, to protect the deen of Allah Ta'ala, to protect Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Anger has been given to a person. A person is flirting with somebody's wife, with your wife. So at that time a person doesn't get angry. This is a bimari, this is an illness. That is a time to get angry. That is a time to show your anger. A person makes a mockery, makes cartoons of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That is an occasion to get angry. That is an occasion to now manifest your anger, to show your anger. A person, he makes a mockery of the deen of Allah Ta'ala. That is an occasion to get angry and to show that anger of a person. And at that time, a person cannot show anger. That is also an illness. So here we learn that there is a great lesson. That there must be i'tidal. There must be moderateness. There are occasions to be angry. And there are occasions where a person should suppress his anger. Not that he overdoes it and he oversteps the bound in showing his anger. And when there's time to show anger, then he comes right down. So here we find there is moderateness. Quran also, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala teaches us that there is moderateness in deen. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةً إِلَىٰ عُنُقِكَ وَلَا تَبْسُطْهَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ فَتَقْعُدَ مَلُومًا مَحْسُورًا. Once a woman, she sent a child to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this child came, she said, he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, my mother wants your kurta. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that at this particular occasion, I only got one kurta. I don't have more than one. And that is the kurta that I'm currently wearing. So he went back, he reported to his mother, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only has one kurta. So the mother said, no, go and tell Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's the kurta that I want. So the child comes back, Ya Rasulullah, my mother wants this kurta that you are currently wearing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes into one room, he takes out the kurta, gives the kurta to the child, he doesn't have clothing. The salah, the asr, the adhan is called out for salah. Nabi alayhi salam is not emerging from the room. Finally, few sahaba go up, find out, Ya Rasulullah, what is the problem? Why haven't you come out for salah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that I don't have kurta to come out to come and perform the salah. Allah ta'ala reveals his verses, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةً إِلَىٰ عُنُقِكَ. That don't become so miserly also that your hand is tied to your neck, that you're not prepared to spend one cent also in the path of Allah. Don't become like that. وَلَا تَبْسُطْهَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ. And don't open your hands so fully also, فَتَقْعُدَ مَلُومًا مَحْسُورًا, that you sit in such a way that you are reproached, you are blamed now. You are empty-handed, you don't even have sufficient clothing for yourself. So in our deen i'tidal, there must be barabari, there must be moderateness. That even in anger, there must be moderateness. Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi gave a bayan, that how a person should spend his money, there must be thriftiness. There also i'tidal, moderateness. A man that is earning a small salary, but he's moderate, he watches his expenditure. At the end of the month, he'll have something to spend. And a man that's earning a big income, but he is not moderate in his expenditure, at the end of the month, he's short of money. So we find that here we learn that the moderateness is very important. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, one example we take of this anger, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. One Yahudi, he spoke ill of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he got onto him. He put him down onto the floor and he sat on him. Now Ali radiallahu ta'ala, when he got him in that position, the famous incident, he spat on the face of Ali radiallahu ta'ala. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala left him. So somebody that was there, they inquired, oh Ali, what is the problem? This was the opportunity for you to finish the man off. But you got up and you walked away. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, when he spoke ill of Nabi alayhi salam, that was an occasion to show my anger. When the man spat on my face, the teaching of Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam never ever took revenge as far as himself was concerned. His personal self was concerned. So this was the occasion now to suppress my anger. That is why I left this person and I walked away. So this is a sickness of the heart. Anger is a sickness of the heart. Let's take another illness. Another illness of the heart is pride. Nobody thinks to himself that I got pride. Everyone thinks I'm a humble person. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the hadith. This is such a dangerous disease. Such a dangerous disease. لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. A man that has got an atom's weight of pride, such a person will never enter into Jannah. Sahaba also couldn't understand or didn't have the correct understanding of pride at this time. Like we think a person is driving a good car, that's a proud person. A man is wearing a nice jubbah, a nice kurta. So we say this man has got pride. Allah Ta'ala rewards Sahaba. They asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ يُحِبُّ أَن تَكُونَ ثَوْبُهُ حَسَنًا وَنَعْلُهُ حَسَنًا. That a man loves to be wearing good clothing. He loves to wear good shoes. Is this pride, O Nabi of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, that is not pride. What is pride? Batrul haq wa ghamtun nas. That when the truth is presented before you, you're not prepared to accept the truth. And you look down upon other people. That what's that person? He is nothing in front of me. That who is he to say a few words? He is absolutely nothing. He came today. I'm here from the last 20 years. That is pride. The person, you're looking down upon somebody, you're refuting the truth, that is pride. This is such a dangerous disease. Hazrat gives an example of a certain buzruk. He says that it was the occasion of Jumu'ah. And on the day of Jumu'ah, he was dressed well, nice, clean, white kurta. He's going for the Jumu'ah salah. So on the way for Jumu'ah, he comes to a bridge. And only one person can cross this bridge. So the buzruk is on this side. On the other side of the bridge is a dog. So now, there's another way to go is to go down. And there's a muddy way. So there's a lot of mud. So buzruk is going for Jumu'ah salah. Perhaps he must have been the imam also. And if he's going to take that way, his kurta is going to be mess. So he made ishara to the dog. He makes an indication. He says, you take the way down. You go that way. And let me cross the bridge. So Allah Ta'ala at that time gives speech to the dog. And the dog speaks out. He says, the dog said that if your kurta gets dirty, no problem. You can wash your kurta. Your kurta will be clean again. Your kurta will be pak. No problem with your kurta. You can go for the Jumu'ah salah. But if you're looking down upon me that I'm a dog, and that is why you're telling me to take this way. Here we're talking of an animal, we're not talking of another human being. And that is why you're telling me to go down that way. He says, the waters of the seven oceans won't be able to clean your heart from the pride that you have. And then the dog said, that this I'm telling you today, I'm doing a favor to you. I'm doing a favor to you. Few days ago, my puppy was out in the cold. You took mercy on that puppy of mine. You look after that puppy of mine. So in return, I am telling you this, that ensure that you do not have pride in your heart. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah, the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, he says that when any person comes into my khanqa, he says maybe the outward dressing of a person is not in order, which is absolutely important. Maybe his salah is not in order, which is absolutely important. But he says more than that, he says, I attend to the spiritual illness that is of pride of a person because this will deprive a person of Jannah. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, say, verily my salah, my sacrifice, my living, my dying, everything must be for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It is mentioned, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions that a black ant on a pitch black night, on a black rock, that this ant you cannot even see, you cannot even hear it. More silently than this ostentation, show, riyah, this enters into the heart of a person. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, Allah ta'ala reward him, he said, Ya Rasulullah, if this is the case, Ya Rasulullah, we are all destroyed. Our namaz is destroyed, our zakat is destroyed, our hajj is destroyed, all our ibadat is destroyed. Ostentation comes into the heart. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that recite this dua daily. Recite this dua, Allah ta'ala will protect you. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika shay'a. Wa ana a'lam wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. That recite this dua and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will protect you from ostentation. Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah takes qasam and he says that this ikhlas will never come into a person until you remain in the sohbat of awliya. You straighten the shoes of awliya. As long as that will not happen, then ikhlas will not come into the person. Every person thinks, I got ikhlas. I got ikhlas of the highest level. But who is it that will be able to tell us that you don't have ikhlas, you're lacking in your ikhlas? This is only when we will stay in the sohbat of awliya. The wife of Harun al-Rashid, Zubaydah, she had built a canal running from Taif, all the way from Taif to Makkah Sharif. And at that time when there was no water that was present for the Hujjaj, Shuri Alhamdulillah, there's plenty of water. But in those days when there was no water, from Taif to Makkah Sharif, she had built the Nahr al-Zubaydah, very, very famous. When we were young, we also saw it. So when she passed away, one of her slaves had seen a dream. And he saw, asked her, how did it go? He said, oh, Allah Ta'ala forgave me, gave me a very, very high daraja. So he said, I thought as much. Look at the social welfare work that you have done. Look at the Nahr al-Zubaydah that you have dug. So she said that it was not on this. When this was presented before Allah Ta'ala said, the reward has gone to its owners. No reward for you in this. And secondly, you used public money. Your personal money was not used. So the reward has gone to its owners. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had forgiven her and made her maghfirat. On one particular occasion, she asked one of her slave girls to bring a glass of water. So this water was brought. And just then the adhan was called. When the adhan was called, she covered her hair. And she gave jawab to the adhan. And thereafter she drank the water. On that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made her maghfirat. But we find that these are the illnesses of the heart. Now these illnesses of the heart, as I mentioned, that we cannot diagnose them. And we do not know the treatment for them. We'll have to go to a sheikh. And the sheikh will then tell us that this is the illness that you have. Or we explain our condition to the sheikh. And he will then give us the treatment to this. Today, unfortunately, we read one wazifa or one zikr. And we think that by me making the zikr excessively or reading this wazifa excessively, my problem is going to be solved. Our problem will never be solved. Many a times on these wazaif that are there and the zikr that is there, this is like vitamin tablets. A person has got a particular illness. Now, on that illness that he got, he takes a vitamin tablet. It's possible that illness will get worse. Because this was not the time to take the vitamin tablet. You'll have to work under the guidance of a doctor. The doctor will tell you what tablet should be taken at this particular time, when you should avoid the vitamin tablet, when you should take the vitamin tablet. Therefore, many, many mashayikh, they stopped their muridin, no zikr you must read. Some said, do tilawat of Quran Sharif. Because they knew that this will put more pride into a person. Instead of solving the problem, this will make it worse. So we find that wazaif and zikrullah, islah is not made only on wazaif and only on zikrullah. Islah is made on the heart of a person. And the wazaif and the zikrullah, this is an assistance to now reach your objective and to reach your goal. So the asal thing is actually the heart of a person. I'll just take one example of this. Shah Abdul Quddus Gangohi rahmatullah, very, very great buzrug that had passed. So it is mentioned that in his family people, that there were hardly anyone that had taken benefit from the sheikh himself. And this is generally what happens. In our family, we have a great buzrug, a pious person. We don't take benefit. The world will come and they'll take benefit from him, but we overlook him. For us, he is equal to everyone else. So nevertheless, his grandson, when Shah Abdul Quddus Gangohi rahmatullah passed away, the grandson, he realized that I made a big mistake. I lost out. I had the man in my home. I didn't take benefit from the man. So now he starts inquiring that where should I go? Who's one of the great khulafa of my grandfather? Let me go to him. Let me benefit from him. So he was told, he was in India, in Gangoh. So he was told that go to Balkh. There's a very, very great khalifa of Shah Abdul Quddus, Gangohi rahmatullah alayh. Go there to him and stay under his guidance and make your islah there. He was genuine. He had a genuine desire to make his islah. So nevertheless, he got ready and undertakes a journey all the way to Balkh. When he comes to Balkh, the sheikh hears of him. He comes, he meets him, he welcomes him. And he gives him, lays out the carpet for him, gives him good food, dawat, etc. Then after 2 days, the grandson tells the sheikh, he says that I've come to take a portion of what you took from my grandfather. That return that to our family. I want a portion of that. So the sheikh said, oh, you've come for that objective. That is what you've come for. So the point I'm explaining is how they made the islah at that time. So he told him, obviously today we cannot make islah at that level. This is just for us to take a lesson from, to understand the point. Because today we are very, very weak. So therefore the mashayikh also have to be very, very easy with us. So he said that just outside the masjid, there is a wuzu khana, wuzu facility. And in those days, they used to light the wood. And this would then warm the water. So people making wudu would have hot water to make wudu. So he says, you go and stay there. And gather the wood and light the wood. So we can have hot water. The people can have hot water to make wudu. So he said, where must I stay? So he says, there's no more carpet treatment, red carpet treatment for you. You must sleep there as well. So he was genuine. So he went there. And he would then light the fire, ensure that the water is hot. So there was a lady that used to carry all the dirt in that time, all the stool, etc. They used to take it and go and dump it somewhere. So one day he told the lady that was carrying this, he said that I want you to pass by him and see what is his reaction. And then return to me and tell me what is the reaction of this person. So when she was carrying that basket, she went close by to him, very, very close. So he looked at her, he gave a terrible look. And with that he said that you're lucky that you're in Balkh. Had you been in Gangoh, I would have showed you what I would have done to you. So when she returned, the sheikh asked, how did it go? So she said that this is what he said. So he said, oh, it's still very, very far. A lot of islah still has to be made. After some time, he told her that now when you're going past, go more closer to him. And with this basket of stool that you got, touch him also with it. So she takes that basket and she goes and she touches him. This time, he gives her that terrible look, but he doesn't say anything. So when the sheikh takes report, again, she said that this is what transpired. She said, oh, alhamdulillah, some islah has taken place now. So the next time, he told her, when you take this basket and you go by him, then not only touch him, but drop a little bit of stool on him also. So the third time when she goes by, she drops it a little bit on him and she falls. So when she falls, immediately, he's not worried of his clothing. He gets up and he asks her, did you get hurt? Are you okay? So she reported to the sheikh. He said, no, islah has been made. So he said, now come back. Now you can come back to the house. But he said, still, complete Islam hasn't been made. So what must be done? So he said that there are dogs that go out hunting. So I want you to go with these hunting dogs. And the chains that are attached to these hunting dogs, you must hold on to this chain. But never leave the chain. Now here also, when the sheikh, he prescribes something, then no matter what, whether it suits us or doesn't suit us, follow the prescription of the sheikh. So these hunting dogs went out, and they saw the animal. When they saw the animal that they had to attack, the hunting dog started running. So here he said that my sheikh advised me not to leave the chain. So he never left the chain. So what happened when they started running at a speed, he fell. And his entire body was now being pulled against the ground. And his whole back, his body was bruised. So he came back home. That night, this sheikh of Balkh, he sees a dream. And in the dream, he sees Shah Abdul Quddus Gangohi rahmatullahi. He says, when you came to take this treasure from me, I didn't subject you to this type of difficulty and hardship that you're putting my grandson through this. Next day, he calls him and he says, all that I've received from your grandfather, I've now transferred it over onto you. So the asal is that Islam, that this Islam, the heart must be corrected. And the wazaif that is there, the zikrullah that is there, that will now assist a person to reach his objective. So a person has to put his hand into the hands of a sheikh who will now guide him. I'll just take one or two examples and now we'll terminate. My time is up. That Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi, now where is Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi? In tasawwuf, Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi was an authority of tasawwuf. But Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi says that when I used to be in problems, when I would have a certain question, he says the first thing I used to do, I used to immediately proceed to Gangoh. I used to leave Tanabon and I used to go to Gangoh in the company of Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi. Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi says that there were those occasions where I put my question, or there were those occasions where I never had to put my question before Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi. I just sat in the majlis, Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi, he will answer the question. Sometimes I will go to the majlis, and another person, he will ask Mawlana Gangohi rahmatullahi a question. The same question that I came with, he will ask that question, and that question of mine will be answered. And he says, there would be sometimes those occasions where I had to put the question. So he said, on one particular occasion, I put my question forward. Mawlana Gangohi rahmatullahi said, Sahil kon hai? That who's the questioner? So Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi said, Ashraf Ali. So Mawlana Gangohi rahmatullahi didn't say a word. Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi says, in that silence of Mawlana Gangohi rahmatullahi, he says, internally I felt that this man is making taqreer, he's making bayan to me. And whatever questions I had, all those questions were then answered in the company of Mawlana Gangohi rahmatullahi. As Rakim Sahib rahmatullahi has mentioned on many occasions, he said there was a time when India and Pakistan, the postal service wasn't good. As Rakim Sahib rahmatullahi would have a question. He says, my job is just to take this question and put it in the post box. Whether it reaches Mawlana Barar al-Haq Sahib Hardoi rahmatullahi, doesn't reach. He says that I have done what was within my ability. He says, now it's in the hands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. My problem will then be solved. In the time of Mawlana Shah Abdul Qadir Raipuri rahmatullahi. So he mentioned Mawlana Abdul Rahim Raipuri rahmatullahi, on one occasion he had a majlis. So in this majlis there was an alim that was sitting there. So Mawlana Abdul Rahim Raipuri rahmatullahi said, you come here. You come and sit in front of me. So after the majlis, Hazrat Shah Abdul Qadir Raipuri rahmatullahi asked his alim dad, very informal relationship, said that what happened? What was the reason that Bare Hazrat called you today in front? He told you come and sit in front today. So then he explained, he said that from last night, there was a voice coming in, there was a voice that I was hearing. So he said, this voice that I was hearing is the ayat of the Quran, Innani an Allah, I am Allah, I am Allah. So he said, I started making zikr, so that this thought that was coming into me, that I am Allah, this goes out. He says, but no effect whatsoever. He says, the moment Shah Abdul Rahim Raipuri rahmatullahi called me in front, he just told me, come sit here. And I came and sat there. He says, that problem was solved. Immediately that voice disappeared. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has kept a certain system that a person puts his hand in the hands of the sheikh and follows the teachings of the sheikh. We find, what is the consequence? That now our Islam will be made. This heart of a person will be corrected. Our physical illnesses that we have, the moment a person leaves this world, it has come to an end. A person had cancer, a person had a heart problem, whatever, the moment we left the world, it comes to an end. But the spiritual problems that we had, our anger wasn't attended to. Our greed that we had for wealth, desire for more wealth, this wasn't attended to. The love for fame, this wasn't attended to. The moment we leave the world, that is the time the problem begins. And a person that makes tazkiyah, in this dunya also, life becomes jannat in this world, as Hazrat says. He says, now a person, he doesn't look at haram, he's looking at his wife. That enjoyment he's getting in his wife, so he's got jannat in his home. A person, he's got jannat here, he's got jannat in the qabr, he's got jannat in the akhirat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, give us the understanding, and give us the tawfiq of making our islah. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.